You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Dexter After Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Bing is for doing, and here we are doing another awesome episode of AfterBuzz TV for Dexter. Season 7, episode 11. Do you see what I see? And what do we...
Yeah, what do you see, Stephen, that we don't see?
Yeah. I'm your host, Sean Overman, and I am joined here by my awesome co-host, and we have a special guest tonight. Let's go around the table.
I am Stephen Lemieux, and if you hear sniffling at all, that's going to be me this episode. Hooray.
I'm Anna Koppel. I'm very confused right now.
I'm Matthew Fahey, and I'm also very confused.
And I'm JJ Jorgens.
Woo! And, of course, you guys can always hit us up at AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, Facebook.com/AfterBuzzTV, or you can call in 424-256-1729 and join the conversation as well. So we have a bunch of awesome stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to be talking about Dexter and Hannah and their relationship and how, oh my gosh, how it ended up. And we're also going to discuss LaGuardia and Matthews and their pursuit of the Bay Harbor Butcher, And that was just as hilarious as it usually is, right? With the mm-hmm. dynamic between them two. And, of course, we'll talk about Dexter and Deb. And we're going to be talking to Matt Fahey over here, who is on the MTV show Awkward.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to be discussing projects that you have and your career and such. But thanks for being here, by the way.
It may be a little bit boring, but...
Well, then we'll delve into your personal life, right, if need be.
Oh, so. Just keep talking about Dexter.
Exactly. No, we're
and
good.
And we should mention that he was on Dexter.
And yes. He was on Dexter, yes.
A very important point here on the Dexter After Show.
Now, what do you recall, like, what season? It was season four, right?
Season four.
Okay. The great one.
And I played what Dexter thought was the neighborhood vandal. But it ended up being my dad. We actually played my dad in another show, which was kind of weird.
That is so funny.
Yeah, we played my dad in Without a Trace. So I got on set and I saw him and I was like, really?
Dad?
But it was an excellent episode to be a part of. So
yeah, that's so funny. So I forget exactly what happened in that episode, but you were the vandal.
Yep.
And, and what, okay, so that's where Dexter was like sleuthing around the neighborhood, yes, trying to find out what was going on. And then people thought that he may have been a burglar too, right? Yep.
They had the neighborhood watch and
all the lights and everything.
Yeah, but you were also hitting on his daughter, right? And he didn't like that?
No. I was not hitting on his daughter. Everybody thought that I was like hitting on his daughter.
It said that online today.
but I really wasn't. This is exactly what was written was, she had a crush on me. I'm going into college, and you know, I was just being a nice guy by answering her questions and talking to her because, you know, I was the only other kid at the neighborhood watch party.
You were being a good neighbor.
So I was just kind of like explaining to her like what my dad was. I can't go to college because my dad is getting divorced and lost all his money and all this stuff. So, but everybody started saying that it's kind of weird that I'm older and hitting on the daughter, and I was like, well, that's not what it is. I'll just leave it to the writers.
Yeah. I love how defensive you got, as though it was like your own honor, you know?
It was.
That wasn't true. I didn't do that.
Why they said that.
You really embodied the character.
No, I'm glad you guys brought that up because now it's finally I'm able to get it out there. I was not hitting on her. She was like 12.
So was your acting inspiration while you were hitting on the other guy?
How did you prepare for this role?
All of my questions were about you hitting on her, so I don't know where to go from here.
I don't know.
Oh, man. Too funny. Too funny, guys. Okay, let's go. We'll talk about all your career and stuff throughout the show, but let's go ahead and delve into Dex and Hannah. So, the scene opens up at the beginning of the episode, and Dexter's old, and it was kind of... Oh, we got a cough going on over here. If you want to sneeze, you can sneeze, Steven. It's okay.
Sexy. Anyway.
So he never thinks about the future until now, right? So we see Dexter. This is the first time we have, like a flash forward that Dexter's, like, imagining or fantasizing about the future, right? And even you, Steven, like, you mentioned that you were, like, surprised that he had gray hair and stuff because Dexter never thinks about the future, right?
Yeah, he never really goes into that because whenever you see Dexter talking about, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? What if in 10 years when I'm in jail, when they have Harrison in juvenile hall or whatever, he always thinks of it in a negative fashion, like he's going to be put in jail, they're going to find out who he is and things like that. And it's always his dad shows up and talks about the future as well, saying, like, after they throw you away, if you don't adhere to the code, they're going to throw you away. And, I mean, it was just kind of an interesting scene to see because it's so out of his character to be seeing himself married to another woman, especially after the horrible thing that happened to Rita, with his whole mindset of he's not meant for love and things like that. And it was nice to see Harrison grown up because that is the underlying truth behind Dexter, is he wants to see his son grow up. That's his motivation for everything he's doing now, is to see Harrison become that kid who's going to college and being successful and not like him.
Right. Well, he said something like, growing old is not only a possibility, now it seems appealing. Mm-hmm. And in the past, that the future has not been kind to people of his type, which is true.
Of his profession.
Mm-hmm. Of his profession, sure. Was it this season? Or I think it was last season that they talked about the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, yeah.
The older gentleman, he was like, am I just going to end up this old man with nothing but a box of teeth to look at? Which was, you know, sort of depressing. I think that's the only other time that I can recall him.
Which was analogous to his, like, box of slides and such.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So,
I thought it was interesting how we see Dexter and Hannah in that flash forward, and together they're, like, so old and gray, you know, and it's, like, the whole, like, like, it just looks so pale, like, when it was, like, they were shot in the scene, right? But then we see, like, Harrison, Dexter's son, like, in the background walking around, and it's so vibrant in that shot, you know? So it was really positive, and it was, like, such an evolution to see Dexter thinking about the future like that.
Can I just point something out real quick? You might hate me for it or not. Deb wasn't in that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a little strange if she was living in their house with him. And, like,
it's a future of his family, and if Deb's in his family, she wasn't in that.
But with how protective she is, I could see her in that.
Exactly.
Scene.
You could see her driving the car that Harrison's getting
like,
into.
Out the window, like, all mad and pissed off.
She's got a gun. She's, like, looking down at Hannah.
Yeah. She's crotchety. Yeah.
I'm never going away.
Her little tennis ball thing. She's
in her
looking
beer.
At saying an F word somewhere, you know.
Yep. Dropping the F-bomb.
I do want to point out, Sean, you said that they were both so old and gray. I thought Hannah looked exactly the same.
They didn't do much in the way of, like, creases and, like, wrinkles and makeup on that. But it was just, they just made him look paler, I could see, and they just made him have gray hair.
They turned
much.
Her into a cougar, basically.
I thought she looked the same. I thought, this is creepy, you know, like,
yeah, a bit.
It's like 65-year-old Dexter is still dating, like, a 24-year-old. It's weird.
And he's still whacking guys, too. Still, like, stabbing those bodies.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he's on autopilot.
Pretty much.
Could happen.
In a way. Yeah, so anyway, it progresses, and we see that he finds out that Hector Estrada? Hector Estrada is being released, and he's going to be on parole. Okay? And he's obviously upset about that, but not necessarily upset. Actually, he's very happy about that because it's his early Christmas present in a way.
Because it's the guy, Hector Estrada is the guy who gave the order to kill Dexter's mom in the beginning. He's the last survivor of those three people. The first guy Dexter took care of, and the second guy was, was shot in a drug deal gone bad or something like that. So this enters the whole concept of the theme of this episode, which was the Christmas and the world giving something back to Dexter. And And sadly, we find out in the end that's not right. And there were a few other themes. I know you're going to throw that out there, but there were, that was just one of the underlying themes of the holidays and what it means to him.
So we have, a little bit later, we have, let's see, what was it? Hannah, she was being, oh, she visits, a little bit later, let's fast forward. So Hannah, she goes ahead and she visits that one witness. What was the witness's name?
Arlene.
Yeah. Arlene Schwartz. Okay, so Schwartz or Schwarm, something like that. So she visits her, and she finds out that Deb went ahead and visited her and was pressing her for information about the whole case, that, that whole thing, the counselor being killed when they were both in that home, right?
Tram. Arlene Tram or something.
Tram? With a T? Okay. Anyway.
Schwartz Tram.
Man, I was way off. Elvis.
But they immediately get that whole best friend vibe. Like, they were the friends. They went through their... crap together. And I mean, it seemed like Tram wouldn't be someone to turn on Hannah.
And they actually revealed something pretty important, I feel. Like, I don't know, I don't think they talked about this in the previous episodes, that the counselor, there was a reason for the counselor being poisoned and killed, which was pretty much that he was touching them, right? Probably like sexually abusing them in some way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, yeah.
They said that previously.
Yeah, oh, I think they mentioned it slightly.
Yeah, because they said she always has a reason for her kills, and that was the reason why, I believe.
Right. Justifiable, huh?
It was very justifiable. Yeah, well, if she had a code, that it would fit her code.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
And we did, and this was actually the scene between Hannah and Arlene, was after Deb actually goes and meets with Arlene to talk to her about the whole Hannah situation. And talks about how her father knew and her father gave her the evidence and everything. But she's a smoker. She's got the kids. She's kind of like on the verge talking about trying to make it to that next year, knock on wood. So, I mean, she has her doubts in herself about staying off. Was it meth or heroin?
Oh, I don't remember.
Something. But
I don't know if they ever said.
Yeah.
But basically, Deb promises immunity in return for information on Hannah. So it's interesting to see... The actress actually did a pretty good job with this when Hannah's meeting with Arlene in the car and actually showing kind of a thought process of, okay, I know Hannah's here, she's like my best friend, but at the same time, I could turn her in and get immunity and my record would pretty much be slate clean and I'd be able to stay with my kids without having to worry about the cops. So you don't think about it too much, but while watching the scene, she does do a pretty good job like bouncing back and forth. You can see it in her face a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but immunity doesn't mean like immunity from... law enforcement for the rest of your life. It has to do with like this one case.
It's very specific in that case.
No, but if Deb goes into the case and finds something on Hannah, it'll automatically make make Arlene an accessory, and she'd go back to jail for being accessory to that murder. And with Deborah looking into the case, I mean, it's kind of like the lieutenant is looking into a case that you were an accessory on. Like, you got to have that fear, like, oh, if she finds anything and I'm not the one to give it to her, I'm screwed.
Right.
So that's the kind of fear that Deborah was putting into her mind.
Yeah, and she looks a little bit more messed up than Hannah is.
Yeah.
The whole situation. Like, Hannah kind of keeps going on with the justifiable killings, but at the same time, she's all a mess and just...
She's thinking about the cops, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it kind of... I think the whole situation kind of affected her more than it affected Hannah because she's... Now, she's on drugs and
she's got kids.
She smoked a cigarette right after she finished one, and it looks like it affects her a lot more, so she's really freaking out about the situation.
Yeah, so I don't know if, in the end, if Dexter didn't do this, Arlene may have even come through. We might even see Arlene more in the next episode.
That's what I was thinking.
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely. Matt, did you notice how throughout, pretty much like, I think it was like a little bit, maybe like half or three quarters of the episode, that Dexter's feelings changed so much towards Hannah, right?
I did. I think it was more of like him having a feeling since Rita, is that like he finally has found somebody else that he like really, like we were saying before, he sees a future with, which he never really did before. And then when his sister, who he cares about so much, was like, listen, I think she did this. And then once his sister gets in the car accident, or was I supposed to say that right now?
No, that's fine.
That's fine. Okay.
I'm skipping. Yeah. Once that happened, it kind of, you do see the change, and it's like he's heartbroken at the same time as everything else that happens that I don't want to keep talking about because I'm going to ruin it.
No, you're fine.
Everybody has seen this episode.
It's the after show, not the before show.
Okay. Yeah, but I think, I definitely, you definitely see... the change, the emotional change, and midway, three quarters through the episode.
And yeah. I mean, you definitely do, because originally when Dex and Hannah meet up again in the episode, she texts him "help" in all capital letters. And then it cuts them pulling the tree and actually doing the tree. Like, this is their first Christmas together. It's the first time she'll get to enjoy Christmas, like, as a family. So that's when Dexter actually invites her to spend Christmas with Harrison, with Jamie, and himself. I mean, it's a big step when it's a woman who he knows could poison him anytime. And then the doubt starts to form in his mind a little bit after the whole Deb thing. And then at dinner, he's mentioning, like, he's never, looking at every single piece
you can never really trust her.
You can never trust the poisoner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's looking at every single piece, and then he's like, I'll have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I like the little secret that they both share, though, and the connection that they have, where it's... Because Rita didn't know about what he did. Mm-hmm. But
he was always lying to Rita about everything. He's lying to Hannah about stuff, too, but it's not as bad as with
exactly.
Rita.
Yeah, but the fact that they like both share the murderous ways, I think, is like a really cool little touch to the whole season.
Yeah. It's over now.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, and it is over now. So we fast forward. He's, you know, he accuses her of poisoning Deb, and that's the scene after Christmas. And then she reveals something pretty interesting, which is that she says that she never makes mistakes, and that if she had poisoned Deb, that Deb would be dead. If she wanted her dead, she would have killed her. Okay, but then Dexter goes ahead anyway. He goes through the car crash. He gets the bottle, he tests it, and I'm pretty conflicted about the results of the test. I think they were really ambiguous. What did you guys think?
Yeah, they said that it was 40%.
40% concentration on that drug, right?
Alprazolam.
The antidepressant.
Anti-anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
And, so I don't... Do we believe Hannah? Is that like a... Was that Hannah sort of just like threatening Deb, hey, back off, or because she wouldn't actually kill Dexter's sister, but that was her way of threatening, or was Deborah setting Hannah up? I don't know, but I did learn this about Dexter. He's very easily manipulated by both of these women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because all women.
Well, I don't know. I feel Yeah, go ahead.
No, I agree with you. Yeah, both of these women know how to kind of now work him. And I also think that it's very interesting, this whole conversation of Dexter accusing Hannah and talking about this when he killed her dad, you know? Like, wait a second.
It's so ironic.
Yeah.
Well, at least they didn't have to deal with in-laws. But, yeah. I mean, my logic behind... Honestly, I have 100% without a doubt that Deb did it to herself. Deb did it to herself to frame Hannah, put the doubt in Dexter's mind, and get Dexter to fold his hand and give Hannah away. And I'll tell you why. Like, looking through all my notes on the scene between Dexter and Hannah, Hannah understands Dexter, and Dexter really appreciates that, especially when, like, she's like, you want to stay here? And he's like, no, I have somewhere to be. And she's like, the first two names she gives out are Deborah, and then she says Estrada. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say work. She doesn't say anything else. She's like, she knows immediately what he's going to do. And she doesn't even try to stop him. That's one of the things. And then when Dexter finally asks her the question, did you do it? She makes really good points. A, she is the lieutenant of homicide. Everyone knows who she is and what her history is. Everyone knows she's Dexter's girlfriend. So she'd be the first suspect for anything if Deborah died. And then the second reason she gives is Dexter would know. For the sole purpose of what Dexter does and gives her up at the end, she wouldn't do it because she knew that would happen if she did anything to Deborah. So it's definitely just Deborah making a power play, poisoning her, not really poisoning herself, but doing that whole thing. It sets it up perfectly.
Putting that seed of doubt in Dexter's mind.
I really hope it is her, because I think it's a great move by Deb. Everyone knows I love Deb, but I think I also think for Hannah to show up on Deb's doorstep and basically can, you know, she's always challenging her, and so I like to actually. I hope she did it. I hope Deb did it to set her up, because I think it's a strong move on her part, and it finally shows that. When it all came down to it, Dexter still would be in Deb's corner. You know, like, he's willing to give Hannah up, give Deb the evidence she needs. And I think it was kind of like the holy shit moment for Deb that you're like, oh, Dexter is still, I can still, like you said, manipulate him and work him. And I won over Hannah for once, where she's been losing this whole rest of the season to her.
Absolutely right. And I actually just got a message from Martin right now saying we have a caller.
Woohoo!
I want to throw something out here real quick before we go into the caller. Did you see Deb's BMW? Mm-hmm. Totally trashed. All she had were a few bruises and a broken wrist. She was planning to black out. I mean, the whole front of the car was caved in on where the driver's seat is.
That could happen, though. My brother actually flipped his car, his Bronco, and the whole thing smashed in, and he didn't have a scratch.
Okay, real quick, technical things. Were the pills that were actually in the medicine cabinet, were those her pills? Because she had them with her earlier, and it was a bigger bottle. And then, two, if it was from the water, how would she open up a water and then her not notice when she opened her own water that it was already opened?
Yeah, I mean,
those were in there. There
you go.
That's a good point.
She wouldn't put it in the water. That's the thing. I don't think.
Hannah,
if it was Hannah.
Before they hate us and hang up on us.
Sorry. Yeah.
let's hear who our caller is. Caller, tell us your name and where you're calling from. Hello? Yellow. Oh, sounds like they got...
They hung up right when they...
Oh, no. Okay. Well, hopefully they call back.
That's my bad, I guess. I'm sorry, guys.
But, all right, so fast forward a little bit.
As long as we lost your caller, I want to piggyback.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah.
Hannah has always poisoned with natural, like, some sort of seed or herbaceous something. It hasn't ever been anything... drug-induced.
That's a really good point.
She wouldn't use a pharmaceutical. It's not her M.O.
Right.
Even though poisoning is her M.O., that is not.
Right.
And plus, it was easily found. And Hannah's much smarter than that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I did not agree with the end of this whole Hannah and Dexter experience this episode. I mean, for how much you can tell she cares for him, and, like, she was honest when she... She was honest when she went to Deborah's house and talked to her and was telling her that, look, let's try to make this work. Let's get something. She stayed back. She didn't try to approach her. She didn't try to do anything violent. Her body language was completely docile. She wasn't trying to do anything harmful or evil. I mean, it was all about, look, this is Dexter. It's the holidays. Dexter wanted you to be at dinner. Dexter wanted you to be a part of our Christmas. Join us. And Deborah basically throws it in her face and says, no, the only time Dexter will be peaceful is when you're behind bars. And, yeah, and then her gift to Dexter is like is the picture of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's no point.
Yeah.
There's no point. Dexter, I don't like that he so easily fell into that trap, and Deborah just played him so easily. And
it was so interesting to see how he didn't even think that Deb would do that to herself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but
go ahead.
Yeah, of course. At the end, we see Dexter gives away the pen of Sal Price, which surprisingly he kept on to, which kind of shows that he might have had some doubts about Hannah to begin with for him to actually keep the pen
to keep some leverage over her.
Yeah, he knows it has her fingerprints on it. He knows it still has the aconite on it. So I mean, Dexter has his doubts from the beginning. It's kind of sad for Hannah.
And he totally gave her a Judas kiss right under the mistletoe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. That was pretty amazing.
Okay, so I mentioned this before we went on air, but I just, like, Dexter, how stupid. She said, you should have killed me. Is that,
mm-hmm.
How stupid to send a scorned woman to prison. This is, honestly the dumbest move of his criminal career.
He's very human. Oh, it looks like we have the caller back.
Great.
With a happy face. Thank you, Martin. Caller, please tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Hey guys, actually that wasn't me before.
Oh, okay, very good.
I'm a new caller now. But I did call a few weeks ago. It's Ray from New York.
Oh, hey,
Ray.
Hi, Ray. Welcome. What's up, Ray?
Hey guys, I'll tell you, I'm disgusted with the episode, man. I was a big Dexter and Hannah fan, and man, that really, I didn't see this coming at all. Boy.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't have a good feeling about this episode either. Like, I think the whole season has been good. Up until this episode. This is where it kind of... I think it's because it was a holiday episode, though. And that's probably where it lies with me.
Okay, I'm sorry, but no. No. Okay, I disagree with where they took Hannah and Doug and Dexter. But no, this episode was amazing. The way they set up with LaGuerta and everything.
Well, those were the amazing parts that I liked. But I just didn't like the whole... I didn't like very much the dynamics between Hannah and everybody else, I feel.
What do you think, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing that I didn't like was the Hannah-Dexter thing, because I thought they were good together. I do think what Guado did was brilliant. I mean, I did appreciate that part. And plus, that other guy, what's his name, Estrada? I mean, he's free now, so Dexter's in a lot of trouble. Certainly, Hannah can rat on him and tell everything that he's done, and the other guy can as well. So, I mean, he's been, as we talked about a few weeks ago, extremely sloppy this season, and this is really going to come back and get him, I think.
Hey, Ray, don't you think it was very sloppy of him to go after Hector, knowing that he's being watched and that people could, you know, tie him? That he would have a motive of going after him?
Yeah, I if anything, don't do it right away. I mean, he could watch him for maybe a couple of months or something and maybe do something then. But, yeah, I think he did it way too quick, and, boy, he was set up big time there, I'll tell you.
Way set up.
Gosh, yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see how – now, next week is the season finale, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you think's going to happen in the finale?
You know what? I mean – after the way the season went, I have no clue. I mean, anything could happen now. I mean, geez, because I didn't see this coming. I mean, way back when he had Hannah on the table, I didn't see it coming where he was going to just, you know, not kill her and, you know, the rest of, you know, what happened there. I mean, I used to think I was a pretty good, you know, guy at figuring out what's going to happen. But certainly not this year. This has been some exciting year.
Well, last time we had Scott Reynolds, who's one of the writers on the show, and he's also the producer, one of the producers of the show. And he said that, you know, we have been saying how Dexter's been getting so sloppy, especially compared to, like, you know, the previous seasons. Dexter's not as cold and calculating as he once was. But that's because he is becoming more human, and that's what the writers are trying to show. And they're trying to show that humans make mistakes. What do you think about that, Ray?
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. That we're trying to see. Well, they're trying to allow us to see the human side of him, which he was almost not human because he was always so perfect. I mean, the other seasons he never made a mistake. He was, you know, spot on everything. And I mean, geez, yeah, we're certainly seeing his human side coming out this season. That's true. Yeah, I did enjoy that last week. I did listen to that. That was very informative, as all your shows are. I mean, this is. Great, I'm going to miss you guys after next week.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to miss you too, Ray. But you know what? Hey, maybe you can call us back for the finale. We're going to have a special guest then. Thank you very much for your call, Ray.
And, okay, thanks.
Okay,
you
thanks.
Guys, you guys have a good holiday season.
Okay, you too. Happy holidays.
And if you're like Ray and can't get your fill of our Dexter podcast, that would be a great time to go on to iTunes and do a little search for AfterBuzz Dexter. Click on that first link. That's going to be us. And you can fill out a review. You can do 1 to 5 stars. You know, we deserve that 5-star, of course. I mean, we're working hard on getting some great guests in here and always trying to be on top of things with stuff that's going on in the story. So feel free to check out that podcast. Try to get as much information on the show as you can because... it's happening.
And we might have some between season goodies for you.
We might.
Ooh. So
just a little
tuned.
Tease right there.
That would be neat.
That scared me.
when you're out of your Dexter fix after this season, we got to give you something between now and the finale season.
Yeah, and don't forget, tell a friend. It only takes a minute to talk about AfterBuzz TV and give us 5 stars.
Yes. Hey, Anna. Or Anna, have you heard of... Okay, I'm not even going to go there. All right, let's get back into this episode.
By the last show, he'll get your name down.
Honestly, like...
How long have I known you and I still can't get it right?
I don't know, 4 months?
Oh, man, okay, I'm going to shut up now.
Okay, well, while we're, you know, before we go back to LaGuardia and Matthews, let's talk a little bit about, like, about Matt Fahey and some of your projects that are going on right now. So, well, before we went on air, we were talking about Sandwich Head. What's up with that?
It's a it's a web series that I do with my brother, our production company, I-95 Pictures, and then we also do it with Meatbox, which is a production company, and Howie and Mark are the creators of that, and my cousin Zach is actually Sandwich Head. and he's a guy with a sandwich as a head, and he's a crazy alcoholic, drug addict, murderer.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's a very, like...
It kind of fits in with Dexter a little bit. He's a murder serial killer.
But he can't, like, he shoots himself in the head, but he can't die. He's a sandwich.
So. It's just like the bread is absorbing the bullets.
Exactly. Like, it'll go out, and mustard and mayonnaise will go all over the walls, but he won't die. But a lot of other people die.
So
including, like, a 9-year-old kid.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Happy holidays.
Dexter would be all over him.
It's in the first episode. But it's very, like, cartoony and very, like, Adult Swim-ish. But
cartoon sounds
and a live action. It's pretty crazy.
So, Matt, please tell me you use, like, very corny puns in that, like, time to wheat your maker.
There are some things like that. But at the same time, it's kind of... It's very poetic in a way.
Okay.
At the same time, there's an episode about rich people, and he does this whole, like, Christmas, what are the, like, poems, what are they called?
Carols? Yeah.
Not a carol, but, myths? Like, they all run, I don't know, whatever. It's like a Christmas poem, but he does it about rich people. Mm. And it's like, how they're ruining the world, and they're out to kill you and you and you, and they don't care about you or you, and it's like... It's really funny, so it's very witty at the same time as kind of cheesy.
Okay,
so
how did you come up with the idea of this guy's sandwich head?
Actually, my cousin came up with it, and he approached my brother and I, and you know we worked together on a bunch of different other projects, and he's like, I have this project, will you guys come out and help shoot? So we went out, and we don't direct it, we just are cameramen for it. So I DP sometimes, my brother does, and. You know, we shoot what we think looks good, and it turned out really well, and our editors are ridiculous, so.
Very sick. Cool.
Yeah.
That's one of two web series, right? Your other one is Never Fade Away?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, it's centered around a character named Cassidy, and, you know, he gets in a... I can't give it away, but he's in a coma. And he thinks that everything that's happening is real life, but he's actually just imagining it. So his brother and his girlfriend and everybody he knows doesn't remember who he is, and they're like, we don't know you. So he's kind of on a path to try to figure out what exactly happened. And there's a girl who kind of shows him around about what happened, but she doesn't realize that she was the one who got in the accident with him, and she's in a coma as well.
Oh, wow. So they're, like, dreaming together.
Exactly, exactly. But... And then his subconscious comes in and is like, it's kind of screwing with both of them. And it's kind of like the demon character kind of thing. Like he's not really like a demon, but he's like the bad guy, the antagonist. And he kind of just messes with their heads as all this is going on. Once they think they figured something out, he kind of changes it around. But he's kind of leading them to the truth that one of them is going to end up dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's got a little bit of a dark passenger.
Yeah,
much like Dexter.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll talk more about. Oh, did you have another question for him? Nope.
I did not.
Oh, okay.
Very good. I'll come up with one later.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to more of your projects and stuff, Matt. But let's go ahead and talk about another Matthews and LaGuardia and how they're on Dexter's case this time. Jeez, mm-hmm. man, this was pretty insane. Okay, so we open up Dexter. He goes. He visits Matthews. And what did Matthews use some kind of a ruse to get him over there to the harbor?
No, I think he just said, I want to talk to you.
He just said, I want to talk to you. Okay. Yeah. Well, that was kind of like the ruse to interrogate him in a way.
Yeah, but I mean, Matthews has history with his father, so it's like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while, Dex. It was probably just one of those, hey, Dexter, come have a drink with me sometime. And that's, or help me put the Christmas lights up, maybe, is something he used, because that was a good little side plot they had with the noting the Christmas lights, and later then, oh, you got one dead one. It's like, ah. Gonna have to stay dead.
I love that. That was such a great metaphor for Matthew's pursuit of the Bay Harbor Butcher.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It's gotta stay dead, and one man can only do so much. Sorry, I'm quoting early.
So it really seemed like this was more Matthew. Matthew,
sorry to cut you off. We actually have another caller.
Yeah, oh.
Call heavy number.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. Caller, where? What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Christian.
Hey, Christian.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, what's going on? What show is this? WWE?
Oh, no. This is Dexter.
Oh, Dexter?
Yeah, are you a Dexter fan?
Is it a reality show?
No.
WWE is earlier today, but thanks so much for calling.
Hey, Christian, pay attention.
Thanks for calling, Christian.
Have a good night.
All right.
Oh, man.
But anyway, so Dex meets up with Matthews.
That's why we need screeners.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working on it, guys. And it really doesn't seem like from the beginning, Matthews really doesn't think that Dexter did it. From the very beginning, he does ask the questions LaGuardia wanted him to, but it seemed more of just like a underlying theme of, hey, Dexter, heads up, LaGuardia's after you for some stupid thing. She's going to try to pin it on you. And it seemed like he was more just giving Dexter a heads up. And he has the great line, she had one too many of those mosquitoes.
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 Yeah.
Or whatever the hell they call
them. And then he does turn like more accusatory halfway through the conversation with his tone and everything. But then Dex makes up on the spot this, Dokes has a boat.
That was a great lie, by the way. I didn't even think it was a lie. He convinced me
for a
moment.
There was one thing. You guys weren't laughing, but I was laughing to myself because when Matthew said, well, he was a formidable guy, and Dexter says, yeah, he was formidable, and starts smiling and laughing, all I can think of is Dexter's, like, picturing Dokes in that cage, like, trapped like a rat for days on end. Yep, he's formidable. Surprise.
He did give him a hard time, though, honestly. He followed him anywhere. He was more... He was more formidable, I feel, than a lot of the other killers that Dexter's come across.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in the books, their roles are flip-flop, LaGuardia's and Dokes. So it's kind of interesting to see how they're doing it, because they're turning LaGuardia into the new Dokes, in a way. If you know how the progression of things goes in the books or how the writing usually goes, Dokes is always the guy who has it out for Dexter, who has that weird feeling that Dexter is the guy. But when they're trying to have a series like this that's going to last for a really long time, you can't have a character that knows who he is so early on and pressing for it and pressing for it and pressing for it. That's why they had to get rid of Dokes so early. So now that they're coming up on the end of the season, they really have to introduce a new character to be that role, and that's where LaGuardia comes into play, which is pretty brilliantly planned for thinking about how they had her relationship with Dokes. They had her give her doubts about Dokes being the Bay Harbor Butcher in previous seasons before she actually actively pursued it. So that was brilliant long-term writing in the end, and I'm really glad that they successfully pulled a character to be suspicious of Dexter with cause, as opposed to just having somebody new come in to be suspicious of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And let's see, Dexter, with that lie he gave, mm-hmm. and it seems like new evidence to Matthews and LaGuardia, he really picked what to do well, like from then on, and he just had them go down a trail of breadcrumbs to find all that evidence that, and I, was it Deb who planted some of the evidence? Because there was, at that one conversation, Dex said, thanks, Deb.
I don't know, because I saw Deb get out of her car at LaGuardia's.
Yeah, I think she did it, right? Because she said, I'll do it for you.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that scene was. Okay.
I think that was her going LaGuardia's to plant the key in the in the tackle box.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Matthews is just all about the Dexter at this point.
Or plant the whole tackle box, because he really didn't have a boat.
That's true.
Yeah. But it was in evidence. That's the...
Oh, yeah.
No, like, she pulled it out of the evidence box. No, you're good.
No, I think
maybe she put it in the evidence box, though.
I mean, maybe.
Right,
I mean,
I think that's valid.
I hadn't seen it before. You're right. But, yeah, Matthew's just every time. It's like, oh, this is tackle gear. It's for deep-sea fishing. He must have had a boat for that. Then, this is a key to that boat. They show up, and he looks around, and LaGuardia still will not believe that Dexter is not the Bay Harbor Butcher after they find the plastic wrap, the hilt with Dokes' fingerprint on it, and the warehouse that's pretty much made for killing people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a creepy place.
Yeah. You would think, though, that tackle box was at LaGuardia's house because it belonged to Dokes.
She took it out of evidence. She took, like, all kinds of stuff out of evidence from the Bay Harbor Butcher case, and it hadn't been touched in so long, right? Yeah. Years.
From the Bay Harbor Butcher case, or this was, like, stuff that belonged to Dokes specifically?
I think there were evidence boxes.
Yeah, it looked like evidence boxes. That's the problem. We don't get to watch it twice before we do it. But, yeah, I mean, it seemed like that's what she put. She either put the key in the thing or she put the whole thing in there.
I was thinking of that, what you thought, too, Matt, the whole thing because of the deep-sea fishing, because it seemed like it was one thing after the next.
I thought it was, like,
it was Doakes's box.
Yeah.
From when he died.
No, I think the whole thing was planted as well. But my point is, if Maria was holding on to all of Doakes's belongings, you would think that she had gone through them just because she missed him.
And she would have noticed that, oh, this is a box of tackle that wasn't there before.
Right.
I mean, that's a valid point. And thinking about it, she must have planted the whole box for the whole reason that Doakes didn't have a boat.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
And at the same time, the one lure that she picked up was the only one that wasn't really, like, rusted away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be the one that if you opened up a box, it would catch your eye because it was shinier than the other ones.
That's true. And this is a great line that they had through that because LaGuardia still won't believe. And I'm going to say the F word here, but it's quoting, so I can do it. Jesus, LaGuardia. I've heard of people fucking their brains out, but Jesus Christ.
So bad. Yeah. And let's fast forward a little bit because we're kind of running out of time. But LaGuardia totally set him up, right?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you know what? He thought it was a gift. He was Dexter was the fish in this case.
Yeah.
He was giving them a trail of breadcrumbs. But you know what? LaGuardia was smarter in this case, and she was the one who had the lure. She really lured him in, and he got away though. Thankfully, right?
Yeah, and had Estrada not said anything. You're working with her, right? I mean...
Yeah, it would have been done.
It would have been done for our hero.
But at the same time, wasn't Dexter followed there? So aren't they...
I think they had a tracker on Estrada.
Oh.
Or something.
Yeah. Someone tailing him, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, because I... seriously, like, when they first released Estrada and he was talking, and Dexter was, like, talking about killing him, I had, like, that split-second thought, like, oh, maybe they'll use it to get to him, and then it just went out of my mind. And then when he's on the table and says that, I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
Because, like, it really, they don't lead you on at all. Like, you literally have maybe the one clue that he gets out pretty easily for a guy who killed so many people.
Exactly.
But damn.
And I think that it being in the shipping container and the chainsaw is kind of like a dead giveaway that it is Dexter.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's all circumstantial, though. And that's, look, Werda needs direct evidence. She needs to know that Dexter was there directly.
Yeah.
Because technically all they have is a guy who in his past murdered a lady with a chainsaw in a cargo container went to an area where there's a chainsaw in a cargo container. So they have no solid evidence on Dexter for the fact that Estrada could have been the guy with the chainsaw in the cargo container himself, trying to kill someone else. So, I mean...
Yeah.
I honestly thought when it cut away to LaGuardia again, then finding him, I thought we would see Dexter, like, half-strapped to the table with the guy dead on the corner and Dexter saying he tried to finish the job or something like that, trying to set up Estrada for that thing.
Or Estrada gone and Dexter just, like, on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just... I thought that too.
That would have been an interesting way for the episode to go if that happened.
I'm interested to see where they take Estrada because he's definitely coming back.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to want it because he thinks, because at this point, he thinks that Dexter was working with LaGuardia. So he's not going to be a guy to just go back to LaGuardia and be like, hey, your boy Dexter is messing with me. So, I mean, he's going to be doing his own little behind-the-scenes stuff to get back at Dexter and get back at LaGuardia. Hypothetically, he could be the one to kill Debbie.
Debbie.
Yeah, I went there.
Little Debbie.
Yeah.
If we don't have anything else to talk about.
I think that would be fine. What she did to Hannah.
Yeah. But in the previews we do, you were talking about Ray was saying on the phone about Hannah and Dexter's relationship being over, but in the previews we do see them have a passionate kiss or something.
Yeah.
And I kind of believe that.
And I think it was poison that he gave her because she kind of passed out after they kissed.
Yeah.
It shows her, passing out, so...
I don't think they're completely done.
Maybe he realizes it, and maybe Dexter doesn't go to jail. They pull a Romeo-Juliet type thing.
Huh.
Well, no, never mind. There's another season.
There's another season, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be just La Horta going around trying to find somebody else.
One of our listeners made a prediction that Dexter does die at the end of the season, and that Deb teaches the code to Harrison next season.
The only reason I don't believe in that is just for the reason that Deb would never do that.
And also that the show is titled Dexter.
And, yeah. Yeah. I don't think you can have the last season without Michael C. Hall.
But I do like that prediction that
yeah, it's interesting
that Deb ends up handing the code down.
So do we have any other topics to go over?
Quickly, we can talk about Deb and Dex. So
yeah.
They had a lot going on, too. Okay, so... they go over to Santa, right, with Harrison.
Yeah.
Like a little family picture.
I made a note about that. I was like, way to phone in your fatherhood, Dexter. Like, why did you even show up for that? Jamie's like holding him, waiting in line. Like, she's like, you guys, come take the picture.
That was funny.
It was ridiculous to me.
They have so much going on, you know, like.
They're so busy.
His kid is like such a little side thing, you know.
But yeah. He is one of the most important things as well, because remember when we were talking to Scott, Harrison is the one that brings him down to earth, and even Dexter, like, whenever he's trying to make a decision, he looks at a picture of Harrison, he looks at Harrison or something. This scene's an exact moment when he tells Deb, and Deb looks at Harrison, and she says, fine, I'll help you.
Right.
So, I mean, that is, Harrison is that one, like, he's the middleman to Deb and Dex's dealings now, it seems, to a point.
Shouldn't he be talking by now?
What?
Shouldn't he be talking by now?
He does. He says Dada and stuff like that.
Dada and Dada's box.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Okay.
When's he gonna start calling? When's he gonna start calling Jamie mom?
Honestly.
Oh man, that would be hilarious if that happened. Or auntie. Actually, that would be cute.
Sometimes.
So we honestly don't get too much more of Deb and Dexter until the hospital.
She's in the car accident,
and then the hospital scene where Deborah basically tells Dexter that Hannah was at her house.
He accuses her.
And that's
or she accuses her, rather.
Yeah, and Dexter's trying everything, like, look, it wouldn't have done this. But at the same time, no matter how much he denies it, it put the doubt in his mind, which eventually led to the climax of this episode with the very sad for the viewers ending, because I didn't want that to go down like that. But it's going to be interesting with the inside man and the outside man part, with Hannah being inside and Dexter not, because I know she won't give him up. For a fact, she's not going to give up Dexter. But
she does say, you should have killed me. Because that could be even taken away of that, now I can screw you over.
It can either be taken that way, or the way that I took it was, you should have killed me instead of making me fall in love with you and then betraying me like this.
Yeah.
Because, like, literally, like, I don't think she has ill feelings towards Dexter aside from, like, because she was, when he was going to kill her, she was fine with it. Mm-hmm. But now that she loves him and he's going to send her away, that's just, it's another person trying to run away. Remember, her guys, the thing with her guys is, all my guys always try to run away, and I'm not trying to run away now, and you're not running away now. And now this is a sign of Dexter trying to get away from her, and it's just kind of sad. It's a very forlorn love story.
Yeah, and also it kind of shows him becoming more human at the same time, because I think he kind of reacted off of emotion as opposed to really thinking about, well, she knows everything about me.
Exactly.
So at the same time.
There's one scene that I just want to mention real quick, is Batista and La Guerta. Batista basically says he's going in for his retirement on the 1st, and come on, get out alive, man. Get out alive. Don't eat food from Papa's, just get out alive. Especially with all those mold warnings or whatever. And the final scene with Deb and Hannah, or not Deb and Hannah, Dexter and Hannah, I just wrote down a little note, just like Family Christmas, somebody's screaming murder. I mean, there's no way you can have a holiday meal or anything without somebody at the end of it and somewhere or another ending up hating each other and somebody getting sent to jail.
I don't know. Not exactly my
experience. From North Carolina, all right?
All right. Well, I really quickly just want to point out Quinn got owned.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, that was embarrassing.
That guy.
Oh, yeah. She left a note. It's in my locker. She's in Vegas now. Meant a lot to her. Yeah. Thanks for the memories.
Used. He did so much for her, and she just ditches him.
Yeah, I thought it was great, because, like, Anna and I have been saying all season long, it's like, come on, Quinn, really, like, everything that he was doing, we're like, really, for the stripper, you could have be a little smarter, you know?
Yeah.
So it was just kind of perfect in the way it ended.
It's perfect in the way that it was written, too, because it makes so much sense looking back at everything she says to him, every scene they have. She's scared, he's the big bad cop who can save her, he saves her, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
Sad. I mean, that's how... poor Quinn.
Yeah.
Such an asshole, but poor Quinn.
Poor Quinn.
Totally used.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move into news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Did anybody have anything aside from me? I got something pretty juicy.
Someone
can go first.
I have something pretty juicy, too.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, juicy.
I wonder
if
we have the same juicy thing.
Well, mine's a major spoiler alert.
Okay.
Like, really?
Yes.
Spoiler alert!
Spoiler alert!
I sent this like via text to you guys a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that text. I didn't believe it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, rumor has it that there's a major makeout scene between Deb and Dex coming up.
Oh, I did see that.
Ew.
That's going to be interesting.
Ew.
That's going to happen next episode, you think?
Well, I don't know, because rumor has it, again, this person was on set, so I don't know if that was recent or it's for next season, but that's the...
That's very juicy.
That's juicy.
I like that. Okay.
I don't know if I like it.
Hey, doesn't that kind of go with your whole, what's it called? Your kind of prediction?
Of which one? Of
the final, of next episode? That you're when we watched the preview of it.
Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to remember which one you're talking about.
You throw out like so many predictions.
I know.
Which are great. Which are great, by the way.
You said a dream sequence.
Oh yeah. Well, that dream sequence is pretty blatant. Like with seeing Dexter arrested, it's such a blatant dream sequence.
So maybe it's a
maybe it's during the dream sequence.
Part of that.
Yeah, it probably.
But that kiss part just made me think of another prediction. So do we have any more news and gossip?
No, I do. I have something really important, actually. I was listening to we had Scott Reynolds on last week, and I listened to his podcast, and him and Desmond Harrington, who plays Quinn, they were having a conversation, and in their conversation, they say that he's gonna be in season 8.
So he
cannot die this season. He's got to be there next time.
He's not going to die of malnourishment. That's good news for Quinn.
I actually listened to that interview they had, and he talks about it, and he just says he's been running. It's a very simple explanation. He's been running more, apparently getting more tan, and also he's been eating smarter. That's what he says. And he's in his 30s now. He doesn't have the body of like a 20-year-old, and he just runs more. You know, he felt like he was getting heavy when he first joined Dexter, and that's why he just like started cutting down his weight and changing his lifestyle.
Well, power to him.
People on drugs say that too.
Dang it, Hannah. We're never going to get him on a guest.
Desmond Harrington, come on the show, please.
Yeah.
You're awesome. We love you now.
We do love you.
We want to talk about Nadia.
Yeah. And we want you to pee in a cup first.
Naughty.
So, anyway, if there are no other news and gossip, let's talk about some predictions.
And now,
I always miss the cue.
All right, I'll go ahead and start off. I think because you know Matt, you mentioned that Hannah. Well, everybody heard it, but Hannah is really she's scorned, right? She's what was that thing that you said that she said earlier? I totally forgot.
What she said in the end, you should have killed me.
Yeah, you should have killed me. That's it. So when she said that, I feel like you know. Hannah's going to say something about Dexter, about him being a killer. She's going to allude to something. She's maybe going to use it as leverage to perhaps get out. You know, she's going to say it to Deb in a way that it makes her feel like, okay, she has this ammunition against Dexter now. And I also feel like La Guerta is going to die next episode.
That's in my prediction. Not the same one, but...
I stole it from you. Energy leech right here.
Energy leech.
I only have one quick one, so I'll jump after you. I don't think she's going to die next episode, but I'm going to predict that Dexter is going to kill her. Eventually.
It's too obvious, though, I think, with the preview. All right. Go. Who's next?
You are.
Okay. Sit back and relax for a second. No, just kidding.
We got a paragraph here.
You actually mentioned something about Dexter trying to poison Hannah through a kiss. I think if that's somewhat of a sequence, how Dexter's playing it out in his head, and he has that poison on his lips, and apparently they're supposed to have a kiss, maybe it's planned for Hannah, and then Dexter has to get Deb out of there, so he just kisses Deb to knock her out with that poison or something like that. I mean, that's if there is that kiss thing, that's what I see it as. I don't see Dexter kissing her for any other reason other than that. I don't think Hannah's going to rat on Dexter at all. I think Dexter is probably going to try to get Hannah released on the charges by, even if he has to tamper with evidence to go to that point. I don't see La Guerta dying next episode either. I see Dexter pinning the Bay Harbor Butcher murders on somebody else, not Dexter. I think she's going to try to go for him, but not go for him. He said something about he's not going to let Deb take the fall for it in the preview. I don't know. I think La Guerta is going to have something happen to her that's going to change her mind. But I can't even focus my thoughts right now. Like, seriously, I have so much things that could happen. How about I'll write down my prediction and I'll post it on the YouTube video. I'll tweet it out.
How about I think that Deb is going to arrange for a hit on Hannah while she's in jail. That's my prediction. You can't say nah to my prediction. Nah.
He did it to both of ours.
Honestly.
I like that. That's pretty creative.
Yeah, thanks. You're a jerk. Jeez. Like, it's a prediction. Nah.
I mean,
Matthew, what do you got?
I was singing the whole Gene sequence. He kind of imagines kissing Hannah to kill her, but then he finds out that with the whole poison thing, and then he finds out that Deb set her up. So then maybe he knocks out Deb and gets the pen or something.
Yeah.
And that's where the kiss comes in with between Deb and Dexter, if it happens.
And as we know, he imagines
it with Hannah, but then uses it against Deb.
Yeah. And as we know, there's like so much evidence that goes missing in the Miami-Dade Police Department.
Honestly.
It gets people out of jams.
And evidence added.
And evidence added as well. Very, very good, Matt.
Okay, so LaGuardia disappears. Where'd LaGuardia go? I don't know. I saw her in the evidence locker. Quinn went in there a second ago. Now she's gone. So I can't really think of anything else predictions-wise.
No, I think that's
I'm so jumbled.
It. Yeah, so that's about it. We're going to go ahead and wrap up here. Matthew Fahey, thank you so much for discussing Dexter with us.
Thank you for having me. Of course, you
were on the show. I wish we could have talked to you more about your experience, maybe working with Michael C. Hall.
That was great. That's it.
Sum it up. Yeah, sum it up. Awesome. It was great. So where can we find you on Twitter, and tell us about your I-95 Productions website?
It's Matt L. Fahey for Twitter and Instagram, I think. I don't really go on there that much. I have a Hussay. It's Matthew Fahey. And i95pictures.com.
Okay. Word. Very good. And I'm Sean Overman. And you can find me on Twitter at Sean_Overman.
I'm Stephen Lemieux. You can. you got to get a reaction shot for Anna on
that. Is this the CSI Miami
one? Yeah! No, you can find me at Stephen Lemieux on Twitter.
I'm Anna Koppel. You can follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KOPPELFORMAYOR.
And I'm at JJ Jurgens on Twitter at jjjurgens.com.
And thank you so much for joining us, guys. We will see you next week for the season finale of Dexter.
Woo!
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.